Now I got your curiosity up. Good morning. It is good to see each of you here this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen, church. Grace. We have, if you want to sort of see where we're going on Sunday mornings, we've posted on the bulletin board sort of each Sunday, as Eric shared with you, we're sort of following a theme around one word and sort of developing lessons around it. The benefit for those of us who are given the honor to try to share God's word with you is that we have time to plan. That's a great benefit. The challenge of it is that it's always changing, evolving. I think Eric can attest to this. You think you're going to go one way and you're going to go another. We had a really good Bible study class on Wednesday evening. If you'd like to join us, it sounds really ambitious. We do an overview of each chapter of the Bible in one night. And so we did Matthew this past week, and I think we get quite a bit. There's usually a handout and stuff to go along with it. And those of you who like it, there's a crossword puzzle in case you just really want to challenge yourself a little bit more. But it's good. And I had my lesson, you know, ready, sort of, you know, this is what I'm going to do. This is my point, something like that. And then Brother John Mayer asked a question. I thought, it's a really good question, and it's going to change my lesson. And so it changed it. And so thank you, John. I'll give the other lesson another time. But grace is one of those topics that is so multidimensional. I mean, it's like passing light through a prism. You look like this clear thing, and you pass light through it, and before you know it, you've got the colors of the rainbow. In my office at Tech, I have 2 or 3 prisms hanging in the west window. In the afternoon, I'm entertained very often just by looking at the rainbows that are going around on the wall. And very often, Susan, where's that coming from? I says, well, it's been here all along. You didn't see it earlier? You know, it's just seeing it the right situation. So grace is that perspective. It's multidimensional. But it's accessible. It's something we can know and learn. We just sung about marvelous grace. Those of us who grew up in church, we sang about amazing grace. I mean, we can think of all these adjectives to describe it and add to it. But this morning, I'm going to go places, okay? But I have one main theme I want you to leave here this morning with. And so that's what I want you to understand in regards to grace. So our lesson text, what we base this lesson on this morning, is Romans chapter 3, 23 through 26. For all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption of Christ Jesus, whom God sent forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in his forbearance, God has passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier about the one who has faith. Now, many of you know, and I think you've seen this before, and it's a previous lesson on grace. Grace is a three-legged stool. Grace rides upon justification, sanctification, and glorification. That's the three pillars of grace, and grace rests fully upon those things. But if you look at the list, justification is a lesson on down the road, so we're not going to do this here now. But you understand that grace is a multidimensional thing. You're justified by Jesus. God says you're right because of Jesus. And in that moment, you represent the glorification of God in this earth, both now and to come. And you're sanctified. You're set apart by a special purpose that God has called you to be the light in the world. And so this ideal of grace, it's big, it's deep. But I want this lesson to be one that it recognizes that background. But I really want to make it very accessible. And if a very small kid today in church could say, what did your preacher preach on Sunday? He says, well, he said that grace is a gift. That's it. If you walk around with that knowledge, that's enough. So to better understand grace, we need to know the source and the origin of it. Where does grace come from? What does the concept of grace come from? Where does grace flow from? And most of us would say, well, it's God. In fact, Exodus chapter 34, verse 6, and the Lord passed before him, that is Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding goodness and truth. That ideal of grace there is related to a Hebrew word. I'm not going to try to pronounce it, but let's just say kin. It's a hard guttural. It's hard to pronounce. But the ideal of it's related to this ideal of gift. God is gracious. God is a gift giver. And so when the Hebrew thought about grace, they thought about gift. In fact, we have grace because of God's character, not because of ours. In fact, this is really interesting. It's not that we deserved it. It's just that that's who God is. He's the gift giver. Kin, if you will, is a gift of delight and favor. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, Paul says, for by grace, and all the Greek folks did when they came to the Hebrew word, the translators came to the Hebrew word grace, they just choose the word charis, which means gift. For by grace, you have been saved through faith, and not of yourself, it is the gift of God. So the meaning, the semantics, the meaning, the origin of the word is revealed in the scripture. Grace is a gift from God. Grace is not something you earn. In fact, in Sunday school growing up, the Sunday school teacher said, you know, what is grace? And, you know, hey, you wanted to get the Sunday school's teacher's, you know, acknowledgement or praise or pat on the head or gold star or treat. And so unmerited favor. And that was the Sunday school definition. You know, what was grace? Unmerited favor. Yes, yes, it is that. And that's true, it's that. But it's much more than that. Unmerited favor was something I received but I didn't earn. But grace is also the other side of it. It's also not receiving what I deserve. Grace is deep and it's wide and it's long and it's full of meaning. So grace is much more than just unmerited favor. Grace is also not receiving what it deserved. In that passage we looked at this morning, and I don't get what I deserve because Jesus justified me. Jesus justified me. Jesus took on what I deserve. He bore it on the cross. And he justified me by his grace. And so God's gracious character has been revealed once and for all. And of course, we see that in Jesus. John chapter 1, 14 through 17. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this is he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Of his fullness we have received grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So God once and for all showed his grace, his gift to man through Jesus Christ. That's it. Once and for all, God demonstrated his grace through Jesus Christ. Who John says, listen, Jesus is more important than me because he gives it before me. He is the embodiment of grace and truth. Jesus is the full revelation of God's graciousness, his gift-giving characteristic, if you will. And we receive God's grace for his grace's sake. I know that sounds odd to you, but I thought, well, what does Paul really mean, grace for grace? What does he mean that we receive this grace for grace? And so, you know, the way I understand that, he says, God gave you grace because that's just what God does. He's gracious. He's full. It emanates from him. It comes from him. And it was made in a Bible study class not long ago. Grace wasn't a New Testament concept. They had grace in the Old Testament. Yes, they did. When they did not receive what they deserved, when they were rebellious to God, he says, okay, I'm going to forgive you. That was grace. When they rebelled to God in the wilderness, instead of letting them die in the wilderness, he went ahead and led them to promised land. That was grace. So we see it evidence in the Old Testament that Jesus becomes a perfect, full embodiment of what it means to be grace. And so God gives grace because that's what God does. It's one of his divine attributes. We talk about this omniscient nature of God and omnipotent nature of God and omnipresent nature of God. But graciousness is just as much as who he is as anything. It's not any less a part of God. It's part of who he is. And most of us will tell you, have you ever had to draw names at school, or maybe names at work, hopefully not within your family, but you know what I'm talking about? You ever had to draw names to give a gift, and you hoped you got someone you liked? You didn't want to draw the bully's name, or you know the kid picked their nose or whatever. I mean, you really wanted someone that you really, or maybe you always kid picking your nose. I don't know, but you wanted someone who liked you got your name. You really wanted it, right? It's really easy to give a gift to someone you like, and in fact, the Bible shares this dimension in stories. You know, Paul says the Old Testament is written for us to look at to give us hope and encouragement. And so, but we look at these Old Testament stories, they're not separate from the New Testament. They're just a dimension of it. And so Esther was this person, this beautiful young girl who's taken captive. She was orphaned. And so she was a looker. She was pretty. And the king loved Esther more than all the other women, and she obtained, what's that word again? Grace and favor in his sight. So very often grace and favor are connected. That word ken, K-H-E-N, is the same word that's used in Proverbs to describe how one places value on a precious jewel. You look on it with favor. You look on it because it's exceptional. And so the king saw Esther and says, man, she's pretty. And not only she's pretty, but she's got a spirit that's different than the other ones. And so she found favor in his sight. And you remember the story of it. Esther's an interesting book. It's the only book in the Old Testament that does not have God's name in it. God's not mentioned once in the book of Esther. But God's character and God's revealed to us through his nature in this story of this young lady who found favor. And when calamity was called upon her people, the favor served her well because the king saved her and her people. Because he had favor upon her and he gave her grace. And guess what? When she goes to request of him, she asks him for a gift. That word that we get the word gracious from and the word get grace. And so Genesis chapter 6 verse 8. You know the situation, mankind. Moses said in the book of Genesis that man's heart was on evil continually. It's like trying to find out new ways to be mean. A friend of mine, they have four kids. Lovely kids, beautiful kids, sweet kids, but they're four kids. And so his wife had to go for work. She had to be away last weekend. A weekend for last. And so he had him alone. You know, so we had a little prayer vigil for Tony, for his four kids by himself. And he was texting us to the weekend. Okay, got it so far. They're all still living and stuff like that. So Saturday afternoon, he said, I just need some alone time. I need some quiet time. So I said, everyone has to take a nap. Everyone has to go to their room and take a nap. Okay, so the oldest daughter went. The son went to their room. They were apart pretty quickly. But the two youngest share a bedroom. You know. So he says that he hears them giggling. Okay. He goes in the bedroom, opens the door, and they're standing on top of their dressers. And somehow they had bent the ceiling fan down. He said, I never thought I should have to say, go lay down and don't get on top of your dressers. And he said, and it scared me. He says, I sort of lost it. Like, you can hurt yourself. You know. He says, and I tried to straighten the ceiling fan and broke the fan off. You know. Don't you think that's how God looks at us sometimes? Like, do I have to keep telling you everything not to do? But there's this thing called grace. This is even when you mess up, even the things that you know not to do, or sometimes the things you didn't know to do, you find grace in the eyes of the Lord. But in Noah's day, everyone was evil except for Jonah. And God says, I like him. I want to gift him with something. I'm going to gift him with life, salvation. In fact, it's going to extend to his family as well. It's harder to give a favorable gift to someone you don't like. Or they don't feel like you deserve it. So, in Genesis chapter 33, verse 16, another one of those Old Testament stories that helps illuminate things. Remember Jacob and Esau and how Jacob stole his father's birthright from his brother over a bowl of soup, basically? And then he stole the father's blessing through deception. And then his mother says, uh-oh, when your dad dies, you're toast. Your brother's going to kill you. So she sends him to her kinfolk. And he goes for 20 years. He's apart from his family. But he wants to come home. He wants to see his mama again. You know, he's got a family now. He's got two wives and a bunch of, you know, kids. And he wants to see his family. So he goes home. And what he does to try to gain his brother's favor, he sends gifts ahead of him. He sends herds and flocks. And he even sends his, which is sort of chintzy on Jacob's part. He sends his wives and kids ahead of him even. And he stands back and he wrestles with God, with God's presence at Jabbok's Creek in the form of an angel. And then the next day when they meet on the plain, Esau says, what's the meaning of all these gifts? I mean, you know, what, you know, and he says, I did that to find your grace. I did that to find your favor. Jacob did not deserve Esau's gift. He did not deserve his grace, and he knew it. So he wanted to earn it. And so that's what he did. Romans 6:23 talks about our problem. For the wages of sin is death, but this gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So I really want you to understand, and that's why that package is there, that grace is a gift. Grace is a gift. You don't earn it. You don't sometimes deserve it. Sometimes you get it just because God favors you. He just thinks you're precious and sweet and delightful. Sometimes he gives it to you even when you're not precious, sweet, and delightful. But there's not been one single solitary moment in your entire life that God has never loved you. He's always loved you. Now, there are times in your life it's easier for him to gift you. And times in your life it's harder. But always, God is gracious and God gives gifts. So grace is a gift. This is a foundational, simple message today. You know, grace is a gift. So, you know, yes, it's all the other things we say it is, but it on its simplest level, it is a gift. This gift reflects the character of the giver, not the recipient. It's who God is. God is gracious. God is merciful. God is loving. The gift giving is because of who God is, not because you deserve it. It's because who God is. So, I want to take this a little further to you this morning. And apparently, I didn't save my slide, so I'm missing a slide.
So, we had the chance yesterday to go to Flintstone, Georgia. Now, that's where our youngest son, Dylan, and his wife live. And with the grandkids. So we got to be Gammy and Pops yesterday for the day. And it was a lot of fun and stuff. So those of you who have grandkids, nieces and nephews, you know how easy it is to give them gifts. Because you just want to. You know, it's sort of exciting to give little kids gifts, you know. And Griffin is 2 years old, a little over two. We talked about what we wanted to get here for Christmas. And there's just something iconic, you know, I'm a little old school, iconic about a red tricycle to me. Of course, I grew up as a blue tricycle, but they don't make blue tricycles apparently now. You know, like that. So we went to the hardware store and we got a Radio Flyer red tricycle for his birthday. Except for Griffin, it's his bicycle. And so, you know, he
we gave it to him on Christmas. He wasn't really good at it the first time or two, but before we knew it, he was, you know, going around the dining room table and so forth, and he was very proficient at this gift. So there's a part of awareness in Scripture that we are not to abuse the gift that we have received from God. We're not to take advantage of the grace that's extended to us. So that's an underlying principle. So Griff sort of taught me something yesterday about this concept of gift and grace and awareness. Paul talks in Scripture about us not to frustrate the Holy Spirit of God. And grace is a part of that as well. But yesterday was a pretty afternoon, and I'm going to say it was Gammy's fault. He didn't take a nap yesterday because she let him have an extra half of a donut. So they cut him off at 2, and so he helped her eat one of her donuts. But they tried unsuccessfully to get him to take a nap, and you know, he needed to take a nap. And so they tried unsuccessfully to get him to take a nap. So finally, I ran on an errand, came back, and our daughter-in-law says, 20 more minutes, if he's not asleep, then you know, we'll just give up on the nap for today. So 20 more minutes, he still wasn't asleep, so he gets up and stuff. And I said, well, can I take him outside? Because it's 51 degrees, I checked, you know, 51, can we go outside? And she said, yeah, that'd be a good idea, because they're working in the house, and that's so a good idea. So I said, you know, Griff, get your boots on, your socks on. So he, little sock incident, could match Spidey socks that went in, but he found them. So gets his boots on, goes outside, and first thing he has outside says, I need my red bicycle. Okay, we got to get. First thing, I need my red bicycle. So that's good. So he likes a red bicycle. So he gets a red bicycle, and they live in a cul-de-sac, in the road, in dead-end road type thing. So it's a really good place to ride. So we're going down the road, and he says, Pops. And I said, what? He says, I have to be careful. I said, okay. He said, a car might smush me. I said, so I have to be careful. Yeah. So while this gift was given to him that we want him to enjoy and fully experience, he still realizes there's dangers with just focused on just the freedom the gift gave, right? That there's outside forces out there that could smush you. And so he was keenly aware. I mean, we had to stop for cars on the two streets over. You know, he could hear things. You know, we stopped at one point for an airplane. Okay. So, I mean, he was really keenly aware. He's like, is that a car? I said, well, I think it's two streets over. He said, let's wait. Okay, so we waited. So, you know, one time we had to stop and look for the airplane. I just think there's a need for us to move through our grace relationship. God, it is a gift. And I know for many people who want to be deep theologians, you know, I've not gotten there for you this morning. I ask your forgiveness in that. But people need to understand that this is a great gift. And we need this gift because of what we talked about the other day, sin. Okay? Because it separated us from God. But God says, no, I love you. I want a relationship with you. And so I'm going to give the biggest gift I can give you. That's myself. And my son. And I want you to accept this gift. And I want you to use this gift. And I want you to be aware of this gift. But you know, you don't need to use it with reckless abandon. That was Romans chapter 6. Shall we continue in sin? Grace may abound. God forbid. We're not going to abuse it. We're going to live fully in it. So, the issue with this is that you have the right and privilege to refuse a gift. You don't have to. You can refuse it. Now, don't anyone raise your hand or look guilty, but have you ever re-gifted something someone gave you? Don't. Yeah. Okay. What is it? I didn't want that gift. Okay? Or refused a gift. No. See, that self-determination will to choose, that free will that God gave us, we have the right to say it. But the consequence of not accepting it is disastrous. Heard a speaker recently, and he was speaking to a group that looked like of college-age students. And the young man started with this premise. He said, I did not ask for God to give me life. I did not ask God for anything. And yet he's going to damn me in hell because I didn't choose to accept him. That doesn't seem fair. That doesn't seem right. I mean, and Eric can tell you, our young people can ask some really hard questions. I'm glad he's working with them, not me. They would stump me half the time. But they can ask some really hard questions. Is it fair? Because I did not choose to be here. God put me here. But yet, if I don't accept him, he's going to damn me to hell because I don't accept him. I didn't ask to be here, was a young man's protest. To which I thought the response was rather wise. He said, let's just say that your parents plan to take you on a boat trip. And said, we're going to go on a outing. We're going to the lake, or we're going on the ocean. We're going on a boat trip. And they didn't ask you. They told you were going there. It wasn't your choice. It was told you were going on this trip. You didn't want to go. You didn't care anything about going. But you were told. And so you're in the boat with your family. Not by choice. Because someone told you you had to be there. And let's just say in this outing, it's a nice outing, but suddenly the boat starts taking on water. And the boat is sinking. And the boat you had no choice about being in, the boat that you didn't ask to go on, the boat that you didn't will yourself to be on, but yet you're on this boat nonetheless. And someone comes by with a lifeboat to save you from the boat you didn't have any choice in being in, that you didn't want to be in. Would you go down with the boat with a hole in it? Or would you take the lifeboat? And he said, that's exactly what God has done. That while you may not have felt like you had choice in being brought into this world, it was some other people's decision, but I'm here nonetheless. But God, what God had did through his son Jesus, he gave you a choice. So you can go down, or you can choose. See, God had a solution. And that's because of his gracious nature. And because of this thing called grace. His gift to you. And so, this morning we're going to bring the lesson to an end. I hope that you get the one point that grace is a gift. But second to that point, maybe, is that you have your choice as to what to do with that gift. You can accept it. You can reject it. But this gift, because it was fully embodied in one person, was in Jesus Christ. Not anyone else. Fully in Jesus Christ. That is how we stay in this and get and stay in this great relationship. And that's with Jesus Christ. Now, if... like what my grandson Griff taught me, wisdom from a two-year-old, that you can take your gift and get in trouble. You take the freedom of a tricycle, give it to a two-year-old, and don't put them on a freeway. Some wouldn't have that wisdom to say, a car might smush me. But that's the reality of it. So if you're here this morning and you've never taken the gift, take the gift! If you've taken the gift and maybe you've just devalued it, depreciated it, and you realize that, you know, my love for the one who gave it is not like it once was. We have a song as an opportunity to respond. If you're subject to invitation, why don't you guys understand this thing?